Welcome.
Hi.
Once again, in the studio.
In person. We have a studio. That makes it sound very fancy. We're in an office.
Elsa?
Blir du med og lage snømann? Kom bli med og lek. Du kommer aldri ut til meg. Du skjuler deg der som du vekk. Vi var jo beste venner. Men det var før. Jeg håper du har det bra.
Blir det med å lage snømann?
And this is my favorite part.
Over kanan.
Did you see that coming?
You are now our cover art. I did not see that coming.
I think I fell a bit flat there.
It's cool. We'll fix it in post.
Really?
Nope.
Blir du med og lage snømann? Og sykle trappen der vi falt? Nå må vi møtes for å leke mer. Jeg snakker bare med de gamle som er malt.
Bare heng der, du.
Det føles ganske ensomt. Bare tomme rom. Mens timene går forbi. So how many listeners do we have left now?
Three. One of them is a guy from Disney who's going to come and, like, talk about fair use.
This is a commentary.
Oh, okay, right. We have, yeah. Fine. It's fair use.
I guess you could also call this promotion in a way.
Let's leave that to the lawyers.
But it's weird they haven't taken it down from YouTube yet. There's loads of Frozen stuff on YouTube. The last part is the hardest. We have to wait for it. This is musical, so
you got to fill.
Yeah. And it turns sad somehow. I guess you didn't want to be deal with Anan. Build a snowman.
It's gonna make no sense to people.
Elsa, vær så snill og svar meg. Alle spør meg hvor du er.
De vil trøste, de vil hjelpe meg. Og jeg vil trøste deg, så slipp meg inn. Nå har vi kun hverandre, bare du og jeg. Hva skal vi gjøre nå? Blir du med å lage snømann? There's no answer. That's sad.
That is sad.
So, I didn't have this as homework, so I guess this goes into the extracurricular activities.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Good open.
How could you even top that?
I can't. We should stop the podcast right here. That's it. We've peaked. We're done. Thanks, folks.
Yeah, you're right. We should probably stop the podcast.
Is that going to happen?
No. But, yeah, so this was the Norwegian version of Do You Want to Build a Snowman? Do you?
Right now?
Yeah, I guess.
It's a little...
There's
it's kind
some
of
what snow challenged.
Yeah. We got a lot of potential snow. It's just slightly warm.
So I guess we can just jump straight into the Frozen review.
Okay. So I had managed to avoid Frozen. I was aware it was a thing. I had managed to avoid the song until this weekend. And thank you, may I say, so much for the earworm that has been dogging me ever since. Yeah. I appreciate that.
In singular, because I have several earworms for this week.
After today, now I'm going to have that one as well. But thank you for that and the other one, the kind of obvious one. The one that I completely managed to avoid until now. Thank you for that.
I think that the period where you avoided Frozen should be put into some sort of...
Deep freeze?
no repository for World Wonders or something.
Yeah, I mean, I was aware it was, you know, like a thing, and shops were selling out of blonde wigs so that children could dress up for parties and stuff like that. You know, I'm with for that bit, but I did manage to avoid all the songs.
I had a friend that for, I think, 25 years hadn't heard Take On Me.
Is that even legal?
So it's, yeah.
How is that possible?
Wow. Well, it's probably as possible as not hearing Let It Go.
How long since that came out?
Take On Me? 85.
No, I know that.
I know that because I was born then.
Yeah, rub it in again, would you? Mm. Yeah, I know that because I was listening to it at the time. No, how long
Me
since
too,
Frozen?
I guess. But, yeah.
I guess. Did they just like pump it through all the air systems here? Is that how that works?
I think they play it on repeat on hospitals. That's a bleak picture.
We're going to circle back to the topic of socialism. But yeah, yeah, okay.
Frozen.
Yeah. It was quite sweet. I was trying to do some work over the weekend, and I had several windows open, and one of them was this. And I didn't get nearly as much work done as I thought I would, because this was actually quite fun. There were bits where you could look away and go, okay, this is the bit where blah, blah, blah. But for the most part, it was pretty engaging. I really thought at the start of the movie, I really thought this was going to be the one where the hero or heroine has a mother. Spoiler warning. Disney. Right, Marina Warner could, like, kick your ass on this. Disney, people, no mothers. What is that about? Would there be no plot if there had been a mother?
Yeah, I guess let's do the spoiler klaxon. Right. So, yeah, there are a certain lack of parents in this movie. They're drowned.
Oh, you...
Or at least we think so. Perhaps it was
very subtly done.
Yeah.
It was the kind of thing where, like, it's probably not going to upset four-year-olds. They might just be a bit confused or not get the causality.
But I guess Disney movies always has dealt with death. But,
Bambi.
Yeah, exactly. Oh.
Bambi is probably like a cheerleader movie or something over here. Everyone's like, yeah, get the gun, get the gun.
Shoot at. Okay, so, yeah.
Is Norwegian guy in a gun?
No, I tried for a Norwegian redneck guy, but I have to go into the woods and locate him, I guess.
Are you method?
Yeah, of course. Didn't you just hear? I didn't deal with the aging stuff in that song very well, I guess, but...
Yeah, your voice should have broken halfway through or something.
Yeah,
else.
Well, it pretty much broke all the way, but...
It's early. Have coffee. The purpose of watching Frozen was that it's ostensibly set in Norway. So this was the reason that this was my homework.
Arendelle.
How do they pronounce it in the American English version?
Arendelle, I think.
And it's actually...
Arendal.
Yep, there you go.
And Arendal, it's... That's a small town in the south of Norway. It's sort of a summer town, boat town.
I very nearly got that far when I went to do the research. I was like halfway there from the other place.
Don't be creepy. And yeah, I guess the similarity stops with the name.
Yeah.
Yeah, because this is a fairy tale. Down, yeah, I guess, in
there was a degree of geographical implausibility and meteorological implausibility in the movie, but you know, let's cut it some slack.
Yeah, it felt like sort of a compact Norway.
Yeah, when they were going from like one place to another, I was like, and that's taking you, what, 10 minutes of screen time? And in reality, you could be walking for, it would be like Lord of the Rings, you'd be walking for like 5 months or something.
That would be an exciting movie.
Werner Herzog is making this right now.
Should we make a Facebook group for those who want Frozen to be a bit more realistic?
Is that what people do now?
Yeah. Okay. I forgot you aren't on Facebook.
I'm not, but no, I'm fascinated by the idea that people have fundamentally unfulfillable wishes that they just like make a Facebook group for.
Short derail, because in Norway, the national food sake.
I need a word.
Rett. Matrett.
What's the context? Rett is a broad word.
Well, the sort of the token food or the token dinner in Norway, we have mentioned this before, it's a grandiosa. It's a frozen pizza, right?
Oh, the kind of stereotypical?
Yeah, but...
Like unofficial national dish?
It's a national dish, that's a good word. So, yeah. And this is a frozen pizza. It has ham and cheese and some sort of secret magic tomato sauce.
Don't ask what's in the sauce.
And... Well, you can ask, but they won't tell.
I've actually had that experience in a French restaurant. I was like, "What's in the sauce?" Just in case it was like
you asked that question in a French restaurant.
I did, and she went away, and she came back, and she was like, "I can't tell you." And I was like, "You can't tell me, or you won't tell me."
I guess that's the same in France, but
it was very French.
Back to the pizza. So it got one more ingredient, paprika, or bell pepper, as you say.
Mm.
And that is something when you are a kid, you sort of pluck that off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's not even green. What's the point in protesting against a vegetable that's not even green?
I don't know, but it's controversial. And when Facebook came...
I can see where this is going.
Exactly. So the group that wanted grandiosa without the paprika, the paprika.
Pepper. Red pepper. Red pepper.
Pepper is that's a spice.
I know. This is British people Namespace are very pollution. Confused. Okay, I would prefer if we did American and said bell pepper, but whatever.
Yeah, so this group got pretty large. So they wanted grandiosa without the pepper, and they got it.
Norway says no to nutrition. And so...
I guess 50 years with herring and potatoes.
Yeah.
You had to stop.
I guess.
You had to indulge.
So the question is, I have eaten grandiosa pizza. So the question now plaguing me is, did I eat one with red pepper or without? Or can you get both? Or does it now just come without?
Oh, you can. Of course, you have the original.
Mm.
Yeah. But now there are many types.
Okay.
Because the market.
How did we get here? We took a turn.
Yeah. And there were no grandiosa in frozen, however.
Indeed.
But there was a carrot.
There was a carrot. I think the carrot has now become the unofficial or possibly official emblem of this podcast. We have our own emoji.
Yeah, we do. I believed sincerely that the carrot
how's that going?
The carrot challenge.
There you go.
Would go viral.
How's that working out for you?
Not very good. Well, there's still time, I guess.
Is your social media strategy make something viral and then profit?
Yeah.
We might need to fill in some of the intermediate steps there a little.
Should I connect the cloud score to the carrot or something?
I wonder if you can peel a carrot with clout.
I think I did.
No, you did it with panache.
Panache.io. That's a business idea.
Oh, I bet that's taken.
And the carrot was attached to a snowman because they indeed built a snowman.
I'm fascinated to see how long you can drag this carrot section out. Like, is there substance here? There was a carrot. I'll give you that there was a carrot.
You know what we say? Where that...
What do you say? It seems like you're having trouble getting it out.
I haven't turned on the English mode yet, I guess.
Okay, more coffee.
So I haven't immersed enough.
What was it about the carrot that drew your attention, or was it merely that it was a carrot?
We talked a lot about the availability klaxon, heuristic klaxon. Mm. Yeah, there we have it. And I guess I know in my head there's all these red threads going through between the walls, connecting things, trying to find a pattern.
Did you ever watch Heroes? You're that guy in the room with the string and the bits of paper.
Yeah, I'm sad. I did.
Yeah. I really liked it.
And then it got really, really bad.
Yeah.
Legion, however, that's like Heroes, yeah, just good.
That's on my list.
Yeah.
So, anyway, is this a TV podcast?
Yeah, it's a movie podcast, I guess.
It is now.
I'm trying to have a proper conversation about a pretty important movie that has plagued the adult parental world for years now.
You're right. It's basically an epidemic at this point. Mm. A pandemic, even, I would say. So, tell
That's
me...
That's another movie, I guess.
The Soderbergh one?
No, the Kung Fu Panda.
I haven't seen that either.
Oh, you haven't? Ah.
Time out. That is not set in Norway. Focus.
Oh.
Tell me, how was Frozen, or Frost, as it's called here, how was it received here as a kind of quote-unquote depiction of Norway? Did it register in any way? I feel like I should have watched Brave now, because then we could have compared notes.
Homework?
Homework.
I haven't seen that, actually.
Okay, that's your homework as well.
Yeah. Yay.
Okay.
Is there singing?
Oh, almost certainly. Mm. Maybe that's on me.
Haven't you seen it either?
No.
Mm. So, yeah, it was received. It was received?
Rapturously by six-year-olds, yeah. Differently by everyone else. Was there any discussion of it as
of course there
Norwegian?
Were. Yeah.
In quotes.
Have you seen the new Disney movie? It's set in Norway, and they got something right, but something wrong. But it's in Norway. Disney is they noticed us. We are important, and they're even making a Frost thing in the Disneylands in the States. Isn't that great? Do they need Norwegians to work there? Yes, they do. Somewhat like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Was that the extent of the debate? I say debate. I think that is maybe lending it more weight than it perhaps deserves.
There were no critique of the sort of slight. You have to fill in the gaps today.
Okay.
I guess. It's okay. You don't have to wait for me to find the word that I want.
I am podcast polyfill. I will get on that. Yeah, okay. So one of the things that I was listening to while I was watching this was the different accents and the use of different accents. And I'm one of the things that I'm trying to do at the moment is get better at figuring out where in Norway people are from. Sometimes it's super obvious. Some of it needs more work from me. There is an enormous diversity of what I'm told are called dialects. In English, we would have said they were accents, just meaning you were from a different part of the country. But in Norway, people talk about dialect preferentially. In English, I would have said that dialect was the words that you use to describe something. But here, they seem kind of knitted tighter together.
Yeah, but I guess there's certainly a linguistic definition here.
Yeah. People argue about this on the web a lot. I don't think it's clear cut.
But if you go into the sciences...
Why would we do that? I'm just trolling
anyway,
myself.
Yeah, I guess so. So, back to Frozen. I think Frozen actually is a metaphor for small differences in a way.
In that?
Well, they mention all the things.
Oh, I see. Like carrots and...
Carrots, soreness, snow.
Mm.
There's also... I called him merchant Norwegian guy.
Right. You mean the foreign guy?
Yeah.
Where's his accent from? This was bugging me. Where's he supposed to be from?
That's the clue. I identified with him. Because he have no accent.
He sounded foreign, like not Norwegian, but I could not place it.
Yeah, but it was sort of a mix also.
Interesting.
And we got the trolls.
So I was expecting, with one exception, I was expecting larger trolls. I think, you know, I've done my homework. Obviously, I watched Trollhunter. I know what I expect trolls to be. And these were like, do you know the little, in Toy Story, the little dudes that you pick up with the machine when you're trying to win a prize in the arcade? They were like that. And I was like, really? That's it? They're not going to get big and scary? I feel let down by Norwegian trolls in this movie.
I guess they saved the large ones for Frozen 2.
There's one large thing that is sort of a troll-ish kind of.
Is there?
The big snow monster thing.
That's another thing.
That's more like...
That isn't a troll at all.
But it was made of stuff that was almost rock.
It was made of magic and snow and ice.
Yeah, but it looked like rocks. Backing up a minute, right? Like, could you define troll? Like, there's this whole Norse mythology thing about trolls and stuff. Like, but I think other cultures have the idea of a troll, and I think it's very different. What is it here? And what's the relationship with stone?
Well, I guess the troll... It has a close connection with the elements, I guess. It's a beast of nature, right? The connection with stone, I guess, because stone and mountains and boulders and so on take the shape of something that we easily anthropomorphize, right? So that's why. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And is there a thing that transforms trolls from being trolls into being rock or vice versa? Is it daylight? Is there a rule?
Yeah, we mentioned Lord of the Rings, and in the Tolkien verse, I guess daylight would be bad for trolls, and that's the thing.
But that's Tolkien. Like, what about here? I know he like pilfered pretty heavily from Norse mythology.
Exactly. So
all right, he stole it from you guys.
But I don't think that is always the case, though, because you have Norwegian fairy tales where it's in assumed day, but you can have trolls acting. So, yeah. And you have different types. Actually, when thinking of it, I think I have this book at home on Norwegian folklore. I guess we could turn this into an academic podcast about Norwegian folklore.
We should totally do that. Yeah. Do your homework. That would be cool.
I also have a book on Norwegian spells and witchcraft.
Is that a thing that comes up here a lot?
Not anymore.
Because you not drowned after them the all? Reformation. What did people do to get rid of witches back in the day?
Well... As you said, I guess we drowned them or burned them or sent them to Denmark or something.
Was that the worst of all the punishments? Or? I need to ask you about the snowman's accent, the one with the carrot.
Okay, gjør det enklere for meg. Han prøvde å kysse meg på nesa. Jeg liker deg også.
When I was listening to him, he just sounded kind of Swedish to me. I know he was talking Norwegian, but there was just something about him that made him sound Swedish. I'm just going to let that hang there.
Because he was a bit naive and stupid?
From what you said to me before, it sounds more like that's Norwegian's kind of self-image.
Excuse me?
Not the stupid part, but the kind of naive part.
I think I said that there was the Swede's impression of Norwegians, perhaps.
Okay.
Well, I'm anachronistic.
I'm not judging your people. They seem like a good people.
So the actor that played the voice of the snowman, he's from Toten.
I don't know where that is.
And I guess I see what you mean by Swedish. But
something about like the intonation, like the periods between the ups and downs was kind of slower than it is in Norwegian. It kind of oscillates very fast in Norwegian, if that makes any sense. We've gone really niche.
Yeah. And I wish I was better with dialects and how sort of impressions, but
it's cool.
I'm the worst.
It was a random question. I need to talk about the titles.
The titles?
The subtitles on the movie.
Yeah, because, well, I'm sorry about that.
Hallo, Ahorovich.
We
That's for later.
Yeah, we have to acknowledge our colleague. He just... I guess we somewhat have just taken the open office space as a studio.
Yeah, we own this now.
And people now come to work.
Yeah, as a Brit, yeah. I'm very comfortable with this just kind of casual appropriation of, yeah, this is ours now. We own this.
You didn't bring a flag?
I didn't bring a flag. That was negligent of me. I'll have one of the natives run one up or something. It's fine. My brain just did a thing. To run one up is to, like, you could run it up the flagpole, but you can also create one. To run something up is to, like, make one from scratch. So thanks for that, brain.
Like a cargo cult flagpole. Anyway, the trolls... we have mentioned that Nynorsk, New Norwegian, is not a sort of, it's a written language, not a spoken language.
Right.
Except for Frozen.
In which?
The trolls that talked Nynorsk. Did you notice that?
I noticed how they talked. It wasn't necessarily an... Wait, you mean in the subtitling or...
No.
No, just... the thing is, like, when I speak to someone from, like, the south and west of the country, and they also happen to write Nynorsk, it's completely self-consistent for me because they speak how it looks on the page. So the trolls for me were just speaking an accent that was kind of... But they were from the north, right?
No.
It was a...
No, they... They
Where were they?
Weren't from anywhere because they talked in New Norwegian. They didn't really talk in accent or dialect, actually.
So explain this to me. How do you talk New Norwegian in a way that isn't a dialect or an accent?
As you would read it somewhat.
But in my head, that's how a lot of people actually sound.
I mean, they don't. They sound like that, but they don't actually speak New Norwegian as the formal language.
No, I get that. Yeah. I'm so confused, though.
So you have mainly, I guess, two situations where you would hear New Norwegian and that would somehow trump the dialect, and that because in our national broadcast corporation, there's a percentage of content that has to be in New Norwegian. Or something, and news reporters actually they read the news in New Norwegian for some percent.
So, I have so many questions. When this is happening, what about it alerts you to the fact that they are reading from a script, if you like, rather than speaking in a dialect? Is it just that you never hear that combination of sounds without someone reading from Nynorsk?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's wild, man.
I'm not mistaken now, but that's my impression.
Wow. I cannot imagine, like, the closest thing I can come to imagining this would be if there was somebody on television in the context of a history program or something like that, who was trying to read Old English or Latin, I guess, if people try and read Latin. Like, no one knows how Latin sounded, right? Like Italian, I would imagine, but that's not how it's read by, you know, people on TV.
But you could compare it to the RP. Like, it's a formal language somehow.
But RP is kind of much more, like, there's actually a body of people who did genuinely speak like that.
Yeah.
Much less so now. Do you think there was a body of people who at the time Ivar Olsen wrote down Nynorsk actually spoke like that?
No, because Nynorsk is constructed from several dialects, yeah, from the whole country.
But do you think it's possible that, like, there were people who actually kind of more or less spoke like that?
Everything is possible.
Okay, it's just not unlikely.
Probable.
All right, all right. This is messed up.
Why?
Well, just the randomness of the fact that there are two forms of the written language, and like, when people, okay, to turn this on its head, when someone reads the news who is speaking with a kind of Oslo accent, dialect, they're pretty close to like the written form of bokmål often, but not necessarily the same. But it just blows my tiny mind that someone who doesn't necessarily speak like that could read Ninoshk aloud and it would be obvious that they were reading Ninoshk. This is a subtlety that's just not legible to me as a foreigner yet. Hopefully one day.
Yeah, but you can hear when people read something from when they are reading something.
It depends on how good their reading fluency is, no?
Yeah, I guess. So I guess perhaps when newscasters,
broadcasters, anchor people,
when anchor mention, when it's Ninoshk, perhaps it sounds more like the reading or something.
Is that a fluency thing? And the combination, I guess, of sounds that just doesn't naturally occur. Like, this is not occurring in nature. This is synthetic. Is it kind of Uncanny Valley kind of territory almost when people are reading this?
Yeah, sometimes.
So what were the trolls like then? Was it just like, this is like, are these bots?
They were very much in the Uncanny Valley.
That's so weird. I need to go back and watch them again.
But I wouldn't be surprised if I found trolls in the Uncanny Valley.
There's a lot of things in the Uncanny Valley. My advice is don't go there. It's people by, like, implausibly realistic Japanese robots that can only do two things, but really well. Let's not discuss what those two things are.
But yeah, you got a copy of this movie.
I couldn't possibly comment.
And it, I guess, had subtitles.
It did.
And you try to use the subtitles.
Well, I was back and forth between the subtitles and the lyrics. Lyrics? Sure. The script. And it was a really confusing experience because it was not a one-to-one match.
So for you got the Norwegian dubbed version.
Right. Yeah, let's qualify that. Yeah, I wasn't just watching like the English language one with Norwegian subtitles.
And I guess these subtitles were a product of fandom or something?
Well,
or
the thing is, I've read fandom transcripts of stuff off the internet, right? And they're usually really, really good. The attention to detail is amazing. Yeah. This was deliberately different. This was, phraseology was different. The words, literally the words being used were different. And I'm like, what is happening here? What am I hearing?
I think what has happened is that the subtitles were made from the English version and meant to come with the English spoken version of Frozen.
Were they just automatically translated?
I didn't. I turned them off, so I didn't. Because I was bothered, obviously, about but
you were watching other things.
But I guess it was made from the English version to go with the English version, and it somehow got stuck to the Norwegian dubbed version, and I guess that's a recipe for not a disaster, but
it was just so weird.
Confusion.
Like, just entire other phrases were being used in like, especially the songs, than were being actually said in the movie. Like, and I did, my brain bent trying to like find the concordance between them. I could have had one or the other and it would have been fine and I would have understood what was happening, but because these two things were happening in parallel and they were basically different versions of the same movie, it was intense. It was fun.
You told me that you have an issue, as you say, about musicals. You don't like him.
I don't like the contrivance, and I think a lot of the music And I'm just alienating, right? We're like now down to one listener who doesn't like musicals either, I guess.
One listener that stayed through the intro, but now want to leave.
Yeah, okay. Now we're just, no, it's just you and me. All right, this is it. Let's do this.
And Tormod, but he hasn't a choice. Mm. Right, you have a choice, but...
He's ignoring us.
Yeah.
It's probably the wisest thing. Yeah, it's just not my bag. Like, occasionally stuff is done well, but otherwise the introduction of songs into a movie or whatever seems very contrived. And often they're done to kind of expose, like, to dig into a topic or a theme, but often it's just really trite. It doesn't add anything. Some of them are very good. Like, some classic movie musicals of, like, the kind of 40s and 50s are, like, they're pretty solid, but it's just not my thing, man.
I can see your moustache is growing. Only like musicals from the 40s.
No, not even. I'm not even that kind of thing. I'm trying to think of a musical that I think is really good. I'll tell you what I like. I like Some Like It Hot. And the reason that I like that is that the songs are actually part of the thing there. Like, it's not a contrivance. It's part of the plot that music is played. Marilyn Monroe sings. That kind of thing. So that works. Notable exception for Once More With Feeling from Buffy.
Mm.
That gets a pass.
But some feelings can just be expressed for song.
In a way that is not terminally cheesy? Is that possible?
But some feelings are cheesy and terminally. Or terminal, as you would perhaps say.
I'm not a big fan of cheese. As a foodstuff, yeah. As a genre,
Do you have a favourite musical?
I thought you were going to ask me if I had a favourite cheese. I was going to say Jarlsberg, which is actually true.
It's...
I like it. Deal with it.
Yeah, it's good, but it's not particularly interesting.
It is if you grew up in the UK.
It's a bit sharp, but not sharp enough.
It just sits in a really good... I don't know. Does it for me. This is the problem when you come to Norway.
I think Jarlsberg is the Microsoft Word of cheeses. Or perhaps Norvegia would be that, though.
I think Norvegia is, I think that's...
Oh, no, Norvegia is a bit more like Open Office or something. But
Oh, yeah? Hmm. I like it anyway. So there. You asked me what my favourite musical was. I'm not sure
actually
I have
the best
one.
Cheese in the world. They decided that last year is Kraftkar. It's... that's the best. It's Norwegian.
Oh, yes. Strongman, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, when you said Kraft at the beginning, I thought, oh, please let this not be like actually like Kraft Foods.
No,
I remember now.
Not yet. But
I haven't tried it.
Frozen.
I liked it. I want to go and watch Brave now to see what The Treatment of My Country by Disney/Pixar looks like. I suspect wildly romanticised in the way that particularly the landscape in Frozen is wildly romanticised version of Norway. Which, yes, Norway's got a really damn romantic landscape anyway, so like it doesn't have to try very hard. But
I think that it was somewhat underplayed, actually.
You would have liked more landscape.
Yeah.
They had a lot to do in like an hour and 30 minutes or whatever.
It was very heavy with snow. You didn't get to appreciate the beautiful landscape.
The
of
non-snow bits.
Yeah.
It was good with like mountains and trees and stuff. I thought it was very beautiful, but yeah, like you're right. They could have had more screen time, but I guess that's not what like 5-year-olds tune in for, right? So landscapes are a more adult preoccupation, I feel. Appreciation thereof.
They should make a Frozen version with just landscapes and the songs on repeat. I
could watch it on mute. It'd be awesome. I could listen to something else at the same time.
But music is, when you listen to it, it is actually pretty great. It has good harmonies and arrangements and so on.
I think what I like best about music/songs was, and actually generally the script, was that it seemed like someone had actually tried to make it Norwegian.
Really?
Like, yeah, there were bits in there where...
Are you talking about the translation now or the content?
Maybe the translation, like there are bits where a character would say "do" in a context that is like completely Norwegian, and probably in the English version, the word "you" does not get used. So little touches like that where I was like, someone has actually tried to make this feel like it's in Norwegian properly and not just done a kind of blow-for-blow translation from English.
Mm.
So I like that about it. It had personality in that way.
Yeah, I guess so much. I kind of wanted to go into the nitty-gritty details of the plot.
Do it.
And
spoiler warning.
I'm not sure how interesting it really is. But
does it tell us something about Norway?
Not really. It's because the implications of what's happening, sort of the deal with the guy that turned out evil, and those dynamics. So
maybe from that perspective, it had slightly more personality than your average kind of standard based on Grimm's fairy tales plot, which I quite like, and I gather the same is probably true of Brave. The thing I liked, which I had read about, which I did get spoiled for a little bit, was the kind of the how it turns out. And it's not kind of stereotypical Disney princess territory, in the sense that she is not like rescued by handsome prince or whatever like that. It's kind of more complicated than that. And they do a good job with that. That's quite sweet and more feminist than historically.
Because both of the protagonists, they are their own agents.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, there's a lot of kind of agency going on in here, which is really nice.
Apropos Marina Warner. So
indeed.
Yeah. Well,
that's a very Scandinavian quality.
I guess people tuned in for the language nerding.
Yeah, well, we've done some language nerding. We talked a lot about Ninotch controls. And
have you used Frozen as a vehicle for discussing Norwegian language things?
Norwegian language vehicle title. Keep on trucking.
Let's change gear. You wrote the thing.
Trucking. Say more.
Well, you wrote the thing.
Yeah, it's not
what
published
yet.
What
did you write?
You mean the thing I sent you yesterday?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wrote about the experience of continuing to learn Norwegian, so previously on Chris's very intimately posted to Medium blog. Do we still say blog? That sounds so last decade.
Blog.
Blog. Two G's in Norway.
G-H, I think. Blog.
Block. Yeah. That's like writer's block.
No, I think it's a return of the journal.
Oh, wow.
My online journal.
Yeah, my journal. I'm journaling.
Musings on Norwegian.
Bonus points for use of the word musings. Oh my god. Yeah.
I have spent the 10 last years in the liberal arts. Lots of musings.
Oh, probably way too much musing altogether, in fact. Musing. I would. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. I wrote a post. I haven't published it yet. I probably will have done by the time this episode comes out.
Especially if I'm going to edit it.
Because, oh, the episode, yeah. Well, sometime in 2018. The previous post that I wrote was about what it was like to start being in a Norwegian-speaking environment, like pretty much full-time, like in the office, at least 40 hours a week with extras. And then this was kind of like the follow-up to that, like what happens in the 3 months after the first 3 months. Because that's the kind of intermediate learning experience, which is way, way, way different than the kind of first up experience.
How so?
So when you first start, everything is new, everything is unfamiliar. Your brain is just bent five different directions every day, all the time. And communicating any kind of like complicated sentiment is mind-bogglingly difficult. And then when you get past a certain level, then it becomes about nuance. And it becomes about the fight to think that you can communicate what you want versus the reality of still being a learner at this stuff and not always getting that right. And then a whole bunch of stuff opened up about regional accents and dialects that had just not been available to me previously, which was really cool. I spent January basically just going, where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? It was great.
And were people happy to tell you?
People seem pretty cool with the question. I think, like, I probably get a pass because I'm like a foreigner and they're like, oh, bless, she's not from here.
I guess, well, I think we share the appreciation of locating how where people are from. Because I'm getting that question all the time.
Right.
Yeah, so, and it's a common topic at parties where you have a sort of a mixed accent.
I take for granted that Norwegians can usually tell very clearly where other people, where other Norwegians are from. Not the case. A notable exception for you, because no one knows where you're from.
But I'm really bad at that. I'm not sure.
Bad at knowing where people are from.
Yeah.
Really?
Well, I can sort of generally, I can guess if they are from the Northern Norway or Trøndelag or something, but some people can pin it sort of pretty closely down. Well, oh, you're from the, not from that town, but the neighbor town a bit in there, right? So right. They can get it.
That's good.
But my father is pretty good with that, actually.
Right.
Yeah, but I'm not.
If you've lived somewhere and heard people speaking in that accent or dialect for a long time, it gets a lot easier. Like, I moved around a little bit and worked a little bit in different places in the UK, and I had to spend some time in each of those to understand, this is different because... Whereas to someone from London, for example, the difference between Manchester and Leeds is not necessarily obvious. Both of them sound northern.
But I guess since I have had some... Since I've been called out on my accent for all my life, I have had sort of a complicated relationship with dialects, which I guess have kept me from having interest in or sort of learning, so paid notice how people actually talk.
Was it as a kind of, why does that even matter, kind of, knee-jerk, or
I don't think I understand. Like, understood the question.
Maybe I didn't phrase it very well. Very likely. If being asked about your accent repeatedly, like if that kind of made you not want to be a student of other people's accents, was it kind of like, well, I don't know, why does this even matter? Why is this important? Or
I guess I ended up ignoring it a bit or something. Because dialect is so closely connected with identity.
What does that say about yours?
Exactly. I'm not sure. being called, when this is especially when you are a kid or teenager, I guess, but being asked where you're from, or people, it's not just that they ask you where you're from, but in a way, I can't guess where you're from. What's happening here, right?
Right.
You are constantly reminded that you're not from here, right? Oh. And this is in the context of Norway, mind you.
Yeah.
So
no, but I have the same.
We 5 million. You are not from here.
I have the same lifelong experience of people misclassifying where I'm from. Worse since I moved to England. Yeah. No, I sympathize with that. I don't know what it does to your identity. I couldn't say.
Well, we end up singing on the podcast, I guess.
I guess so. But yeah, like, what I'm going to suggest that does for you is it makes you more porous to the idea of not being from a place. Like, the the sum total of having, for me, a Czech parent and an English parent and growing up in a different country again and not really sounding like I'm from any of those places means that I'm pretty loose about national identity or regional identity or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm European, whatever that is.
Sometimes that is an advantage, I think, and sometimes not.
When do you think it's not? Because I think it's an advantage.
For me, it meant that I have a really bad memory of my childhood because I haven't felt a connection to a place. So
you moved a lot.
Well, you're the expert, but sort of to let the memory stick, I think you have to place them in a landscape or sort of have some fundament.
It helps to have wallpaper to stick it to. I get that.
Exactly. So, yeah. In that way, especially if you had a fine childhood, that would be a disadvantage, I guess. But also, I guess, I'm not sure if I can blame my childhood. Well, of course you could, but since I ended up being a bit disinterested in language because I felt I didn't master it, it sort of kept me from being better at it.
What would you have needed for that not to have happened? For language to have been easier for you? Was it just, I'm not good enough at this, I'll move on, I'll do something else?
It would help if I were a bit more salient about how language and dialect sounded like and the choice of words and difference between. I haven't been aware of it, that. Not now either, really. So I don't notice if people use. It's not like you do, it seems. You notice when people are using different forms and perhaps wordings or phrasings and so on. That just goes past me. So.
The Norwegian has a concept of register, right? Like NRK Norsk would be kind of high register, like traditionally anyway, right? It would be like the equivalent of BBC English or received pronunciation, right? It's kind of like a... I'm pretty sure I heard the word used in a podcast. Registrer. To describe speech, like the level of formality, I guess, or kind of...
Yeah, you have...
Riksmål, kind of.
Yeah, I guess you have that. That, well, it's been a long while since that was a thing.
Right.
Yeah.
Because this is such a egalitarian country.
Yeah, exactly.
Something, something. Yeah, that's nice. That's nice that that's not really kind of on the radar. But is that a thing that you notice about people or not?
No. Not at all.
Hmm.
Well, I have this friend in the academy. Hi, Knut. And he writes...
Another Knut?
Yeah. He writes a bit like high formal Norwegian.
But academics write like that?
No.
Oh, you mean all the time?
Yeah, it's sort of archaic.
Wow.
It's... not to give him flack, but it's... Some students start doing that to sound more intellectual. But it's not very common.
Without wishing to insult your friend, is this like a hipster conceit?
No, it's just him.
Okay. What does he get out of it, do you think? What does it buy him?
Well, he has submitted his and defended his PhD thesis, so I guess... But
cause and effect
for him is not what do you call it? He have just ended up doing it like that. It's not something he tries very hard to do. So yeah,
the thing I think is interesting here is that you can do. Being a student of the way people talk, the register they talk in, the accents and dialects and whatever else that they use, the wording that they use, the way they phrase stuff, if you're the kind of person who can read that, like finds that legible, I need to link to this piece about legibility because it's just like the best concept ever, then you can use it to buy entry to places that you might otherwise not get, because you can consciously or unconsciously open dialogue with people who speak in that way by just mirroring what they do. And like, I use this when I do user research, for example, because it's a super effective way of just finding where that person is and just being with them there, and that makes them open up and it makes the dialogue easier and. But your alternative is also pretty cool. Your alternative is very egalitarian. It's like, I'm just going to have my conversation with you at whatever level I want to have it, and I'm going to treat everyone equally, and I'm going to talk to everyone the same. And that's also a really nice way to go through life. And it's arguably less artificial.
Yeah, I guess so. So we have the distinction you can make through how you speak in Norwegian. I think it boils down to local identity, when that is relevant. Welcome, Camilla.
Hi.
Another colleague.
Local identity.
Yeah, so, and it's relevant in some cases, I guess, but not always. So if you did user research, that would be irrelevant. Well, you still have to keep in mind all the user research dynamics, you being an interviewer and so on, but not in how you speak or what dialect you speak and so on, or even register, but that would be hard to do. But when I try to come up with examples of when it would be important to mark local identity. On a Saturday night in a local bar, perhaps.
How would that manifest?
If you were a buff guy and you talked like the neighboring town, you have to watch yourself. But
okay. Interesting.
Or perhaps when we are a kid in school, starting a new school in a smaller place, perhaps.
And you want to fit in?
Mm.
So what do? Do you try and change how you talk?
I think we have talked about this before, but yeah, it's not unusual for the newcomer to appropriate the dialect, the local dialect, like I never did. Or perhaps go neutral, that is, talk like you're from the eastern part of Norway.
Hmm. Is that neutral? That seems very unneutral. Like,
no,
if
it's
you
more neutral.
That's so random.
Just ask Tormod.
Tormod says, huh? We'll come back to that. So we've talked a lot about how people from far away from Oslo might change their dialect a little bit to fit in, particularly if they live and work in Oslo for a long time.
Yeah, so when I moved to Karmøy, which is in the southern western part of Norway, and their dialect is very distinct.
Anyone in our office who talks like that?
Yeah, Nils talks a bit like that. So we had this other family, the new priest actually had his family from, and they grew up on Senja, which is in Lofoten, which is in the
super north.
Yeah. And their oldest son, he grew up talking like they do in Senja. But when he came to Karmøy, he started talking like he was from the eastern part of Norway.
Right, as a kind of... The local thing is too impenetrable, so I'm going to pick something that's at least neutral, kind of camouflage.
Something like that.
How old was he at the time?
I think he were in his teens, I guess.
Yeah. Early, mid, late?
I think he's an 81 model, so 12, 13, 14, something like that.
Okay. This is the thing I notice about you guys. Everyone is like, you use the year you were born as a way of talking about how old you are.
Yeah, Norwegians are like cars.
Yeah. This is a thing I'd never met before.
Really?
Yeah, like when we were sitting around having dinner, like maybe like a month after I joined or something, we were at a thing for new staff, and there was this conversation between Gad and Ove and people like that, and they're all like, oh, you're like a 71 or whatever, and I'm like, they're talking about the years. This is just not a thing that people do. Like, you're kind of stratified or classified or whatever by, like, a car, yeah. And in the UK, the conversation would be, how old are you? I'm, you know, 40 or whatever. You know, it would be that conversation. Small difference.
Yeah, another item on our blackboard or right. Chalkboard. What's the difference?
Blackboard is maybe more British. Chalkboard sounds very American to me.
Hmm. And
not in a bad way.
But why and what do you think the difference entail here?
I'm not sure it has meaning. I think it might just be a difference. Maybe it's easier for you to peg yourself against, oh, you would have been like 2 years above me in school. But I don't know.
And this is more true for before, I guess, before the internet, but you have to remember that, well, before the internet in Norway, pretty much of what happened culturally were a shared experience. So when Take On Me came, well, everybody listened to that, right?
Right.
When Star Wars came,
right.
Well, everybody saw that. So, and so on. So pinning down the year would tell you a lot about the...
the vintage.
Yeah, but sort of what you experienced through your upbringing.
Right,
yeah.
Because it pins it to kind of what was culturally happening at that time. I just realized the other thing, which is that to, like, Norwegians talk about themselves in cohorts in this way. Like, you know, you're kind of part of the 71 or like 85 or whatever kind of band cohort, whatever. And that's a really collectivist statement. That's a very kind of, I told you we'd circle back to socialism, socialist statement, right? Like, we are collectively this thing together and we make up a part of that slice of time. And the British thing, by contrast, is really individualistic. I am this thing. Not I am a part of this group of people who are 40 years old or whatever, but I am me. I am this. End of.
Makes you think.
I'm editing that out. Cheesy. That was it. Tormod has a keyboard like Neil's a little bit.
That's a new Mac. Yeah. I guess Apple designed them for making it really obvious when you are sitting on a coffee shop that you are indeed writing your novel.
I'm working. Yes, look at me. Aren't I important?
Did we have follow-up, by the way?
Oh, we had a ton of follow-up. I'm so sorry. Ellis wrote to us a lot about really cool stuff.
Yeah, let's do the follow-up and then close with the picks of the week.
Mm. Okay. Ellis sent a lovely video of people, sailors, arriving in Bergen in the harbour, singing.
Ah, the shanty.
Yeah. It's great.
It was in English, though, wasn't it?
There was some debate in the comments on YouTube. I never read the YouTube comments, but there was some debate in the comments about to what extent they were singing in English and or Norwegian, and whether it was a kind of a changed version from the usual version. It was cool. Ellis also sent us a joke, which is, where's the best place to buy cheap rainwear in Norway?
In the Bergen basement.
Yeah. This is an English language joke. Bargain basement is like a kind of a thing. And bargain and Bergen. Yeah. Because it's always funnier if you got to explain the joke. I laughed, but it's cheesy.
Well, it was easier to get it when you said it.
Yeah. Yeah, like when you read it, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
I get that. And then I had a conversation with Ellis about Jerusalem. So we talked about Jerusalem, the hymn, previously, right? Which is like an unofficial and unofficial anthem of England. Not the UK, England. Totally impenetrable to you if you grew up in Scotland. Like, what even is that? And, yeah. Ellis says it's a thing in England because Jerusalem connection to England is because Jesus went to Glastonbury after the resurrection. And I'm like, sure he did. And Ellis is like, oh, so you're fine with the whole resurrection thing. You're just like, you know, like your problem with this story is that Jesus went to Glastonbury. He crowd surfed. Bet your ass he did.
I guess Jesus gives me a hippie vibe, so.
He gives everyone a hippie vibe, man. That's what he does.
Yeah. So Jesus and the bunch of, research has shown that it is mostly women in their 40s and 50s that goes to Glastonbury. It is Glastonbury, right? Sort of the new age. Yeah, it is, right?
Yeah. I'm messing with you here a little bit. So yeah, Glastonbury is the big stone circle with all the, and it's a thing. It was only 4 stars on TripAdvisor. I don't know what you got to do now to get 5 stars on TripAdvisor, but I guess they're just not cutting it. But it's also a music festival. And it's probably increasingly better known for the music festival than it is for the druidic stones and stuff. Yeah, like there's a very big new age thing going on there, but I think the music festival is a lot of modestly posh people in nice wellies.
And lots of mud, right?
Often.
Yeah.
Snisfernifty. I have annoyed the pants off our colleagues in the last week by trying to nail down an English equivalent of the word snisfernifty. Everything I tried was rejected. No, that's not quite it. I did get very many other Norwegian words for annoying people. it took me a week to come to the word sanctimonious, which was also rejected for being too høytidelig. But I don't even know what the English equivalent of that word is. But it in English, sanctimonious can be used very casually in conversation about a person who just, yes, they're sensible, but they're making you feel it. And could they stop already? And then, having had this week of trying to find out what this word meant, it came up in a podcast. Sadly, they did not talk about what it meant or what the English equivalent might have been. It was a Norwegian language podcast, but they did talk about the etymology of it. And yeah, you're bang on. It was all about sniffing. But maybe, yeah.
So, yeah. So the thing about sanctimonious is it sounds a bit too high for the...
The register is too high.
But the etymology of sanctimonious, it is from sanctus, like holy, right, or sacred.
Yeah, I knew you would pick
up
on that.
So perhaps we could tweak it a bit. So domestimonious, perhaps? that's pretty much it.
Isn't
because
that the heroine in Othello?
I think I'll make that the official Small Differences statement on the translation of Snusfornufti. Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't get the nose part in there, but it's implied.
Okay, we'll work on that. We knit our own words. We talked about Gaelic briefly. I had homework.
Yeah. You can do the Frozen song in Gaelic. Yeah.
I cannot do the Frozen song in Gaelic, possibly ever. They have way too many. So the thing about Gaelic is it's phonetically impenetrable to the outsider. Certainly if you've grown up speaking English, you look at Gaelic and the letters on the page seem to bear very little resemblance to what is actually pronounced. So when Tormod came in earlier, I said, hello, well, I mispronounced it actually. What I should have said was, hello, Ahoramich, which is, hello, Tormod. Picked at random, but like I found a video on the internet where the guy explains like how to pronounce this short conversation in Gaelic, and he's explaining like why the pronunciation is as it is, and I quote, there's a hidden A between the R and B, and the BH becomes a V. And that tells you everything you need to know. Like there are things called narrow and maybe slender and broad vowels or something in Gaelic that affect how you pronounce the letter before and after, which kind of happens a little bit in English, but Gaelic seems really malleable. Like all the letter pronunciation seems to depend a lot on the letters around it. So it's really hard to parse, and there's not a lot in there to get a hold of as an English speaker. This guy's accent, actually it's worth, we'll link in the show notes, this guy's accent alone in English is worth listening to. It's amazing. It's somewhere between Scottish and American and something else.
So in conclusion?
In conclusion, ready yourself for phrenetic confusion, I guess. It's great, it's just hard. I'm sorry that I couldn't prepare more stuff, but it's hard to remember it. Do you have a word of the week?
I chose putra, which is my favorite word at the moment. Putra or putra?
I don't know it. What does it mean?
It means to simmer.
Oh.
Like a soup or something.
Is it only used about literally things that are simmering?
That's the thing, because, well, usually it is. You use it to describe what's happening when, for example, the soup boils or something. Mm. Nils at the office, famously known as the code poet, and he's actually a poet and a coder. He used it about a programming process that just sort of runs
by itself, or
yeah. So he can say things like "Ah, no står det no puttrar." So
it's kind of on the boil, almost like it's kind of simmering by itself.
Yeah.
Is that while code is compiling, or...?
No, it's not compiling. It's doing its thing.
Okay. Nice.
Making code soup or something. Okay. But
we have a phrase in English, code soup, I like it. We have a phrase in English, to putter, a verb, to putter along. Like a small motorbike, like a moped or a little motorboat or something like that, where something could kind of putter along. And if you're puttering around, it means you're kind of just quietly getting on with stuff in the background. Same word?
It sounds like the same word, and I think there is some element of the sound.
Mm.
It describes the sound or something.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, because I think you could apply that to motors as well, like a boat.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, putter på vågen. Yeah, yeah.
There you go. Nice.
Right, cool.
Small similarity.
Is that our new podcast?
I think so. Let's pivot.
A more positive...
right. My word of the week is Tina, which has very many meanings. It amused me when I wrote it down because we have our list of stuff. It says Chris, Tina, which is kind of like a Norwegian interpretation of my name on the page. But it's, among other things, Tina is a name, often short for Christina, right? Although people often use Stina, I think, here.
Is it a name? Yeah, I guess so.
Or would people always just say Stina if it was a shortening?
I haven't thought of Tina as a short form of Stina or Christina before, because that isn't...
It's not a thing you do.
No.
You guys don't really shorten names very much.
Some-ish. Yeah.
No. It's also the... I need to use the word cooperative. It's a worker-owned co-op, right? Cooperative dairy. It's as close as you could possibly come, I think, to being the state dairy company without actually being it. Like, officially, they don't have a monopoly and it's a competition, but, like, they're almost the only game in town.
And they were.
They were, yeah. But, like, it still feels like they are. Like, it's, again, this is when I talk about the country still smelling very socialist. This is what I mean. Is like, here's this kind of big dairy workers corporate type. It's producer-owned, right? But it's, like, this is the company that makes pretty much, not all, but a lot of Norway's dairy products. And it's called Tina. But the other reason I picked it as a word is it's also a verb. And it means to thaw. And I thought that bookended nicely the fact that we were talking about Frozen before.
Nice.
And I guess to thaw, like to thin out, right? Tina, thin, right? Probably.
But yeah. So you called out the dairy business thing. But do you know what it actually is? Because it is a thing.
Say more. I read their basic Wikipedia page. What am I missing?
How to even explain it? It's a container. And I guess we have to post a link or make this our cover art or something. But it's a container of wood that people kept their silver stuff and so on in.
And the word Tina means one of these containers.
And if you look at the logo for the diary, it is a Tina. And
nice.
It is a common project in crafts in school to make
one.
This wooden container.
And you put, when you said silver stuff, do you mean like cutlery or?
No,
like jewel
the
box?
Jewelry for
jewelry
the Moonod.
Right.
And it is often painted with this rose paint thing.
I've seen stuff in the museums, which is kind of like traditional painted wood art.
Mm.
Yeah. Pictures to follow in the show notes. Speaking of.
Where can people find the show notes?
If you go to smalldifferences.fireside.fm, you will find episodes and links to many things, including rose painting and dairies and possibly slightly illegally uploaded YouTube clips.
Should we omit the cultural pick of the weeks? Do you have one?
I thought Frozen was the cultural pick of the week.
Yeah, from last week. Or because we spoiled it, so it's not just listen to the soundtrack.
You have something written down. Do you want to fly with that for a minute?
Because I wanted to... I thought about Norwegian musicals. Because I thought this would be a musical episode. But
it was,
we didn't sang. Break in out in song. So...
I'm going to have it in my head for the rest of the day, if that helps.
And this is the first musical, I guess, Norwegians from my generation was...
aware of?
Yes, perhaps. It was my first vinyl, actually. It's... Folkerøvere I Kardemommeby, English, when the robbers came to Cardamom Town. There's an English translation of it. And it is this... the setting is this kind of Mediterranean town. And the townspeople and three robbers. That has some mischief.
With hilarious consequences.
Yeah, something like that. Or they are turned good, I guess.
Okay.
And the characters from this musical are still present as references in our daily language. So when you're at the office and hear people talking about Tante Sofia.
Right.
That's a reference from this musical.
Okay.
And Tante Sofia is this strict aunt-y person that it's very gender stereotypical. Marina Warner wouldn't be happy about this, but yeah. And I've made a slight adjustment. So when I'm complaining about people not doing the dishwashing or being messy, I talk about Onkel Sofia.
Very good.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's available on the internet.
And you can even go there. In this amusement park called Dyreparken in Kristiansand.
Is it expensive? They're
not that expensive.
That's a joke. Dyr.
Oh, no, you didn't. But, yeah. There's an English Wikipedia page, at least.
Cool.
Just sing it aloud and you'll get the sort of...
Right.
yeah. That's my pick.
Nice. Are we done?
Oh, you haven't. You didn't have a pick?
My pick was Frozen. That's all I got for you.
There's a cop-out.
We talked about it for like half an hour. How is that a cop-out?
Because the cultural pick of the week is something that you could watch or indulge in to the next time so we could talk about it.
Oh, is that how this works?
Yeah.
Oh, it's done like retroactively. We have
done this.
I've been doing this wrong the whole time.
You disappoint me.
I'm getting used to that. I'm a very disappointing person.
I guess Norway hasn't enough culture for you. I'm sorry.
It has a ton. I'm struggling to keep up. All the things that I want to talk about are things that are in Norwegian language, because like as per the blog post, my entire consumption of podcasts, with this one accepted, is in Norwegian now, to try and like spend more time listening to it and acquire more words and, you know, general better sense of what is happening. And like, because this is an English language podcast, it's pretty hard to recommend stuff.
I guess your recommendation is the entire oeuvre of Edvard Grieg or something. So, yeah,
go listen to In the Hall of the Mountain King, and then listen to the Trent Reznor Atticus Ross version of In the Hall of the Mountain King from the Social Network soundtrack, which is great. The whole soundtrack is great, but that's a really nice cover.
Do you have my attention now? Am I the Mark Zuckerberg of this podcast?
Does that make me the Eduardo... I can't remember his surname.
There we have it.
Poor Eduardo.
We have to get to work.
We do.
Ha det bra. Takk for at du hørte på.
Takk for at du hørte på. Ha det bra.